On April 28, 1961, the President of the United States, John F. Kennedy, in a message to the American public, said in part that common prudence demands that we take all necessary measures to protect our homes, our institutions, and our way of life so that they may survive should an enemy thrust war on us. Mr. Frank B. Ellis, National Director for the Office of Civil and Defense Mobilization, following President Kennedy's message, also made the following comment. Every measure taken now by you and your family, your city and state authorities, and the federal government reduces the likelihood of nuclear war. Peace cannot be taken for granted. Patriotic and civic. But I was wrong. I failed myself and my country. Now I remember. Today I had just returned to Target City from an extended business trip. Now I can see how my complacency caused my death. I can see people alive in the fallout shelters. Had I learned the rules as set forth by the Office of Civil Defense, I would be alive and in that shelter now. You have only one chance, never two. How simple it is. Those who knew what to do and where to go are still amongst the living. I had my opportunity. But I was the complacent American. And I said this city where I died would never fear nuclear attack. After all, this is the USA. I'm going to try and retrace the events that took place. To see how my unpreparedness, my lack of readiness caused my death. Maybe others will benefit from this. I remember how good I felt as the jet was landing in Target City. It was exactly 1 hour before the H-bomb blew. I remember leaving the airport for my office in downtown Target City. And regarding the H-bomb attack, I can't remember any major incident other than a newscaster referring to our continuing Cold War. I noted how typical our activities were as I compared them to the other cities I had visited during my business trip. First, the suburbs and our new housing projects under construction. Then, entering the residential area, everything seemed to be its normal self. Just as I approached the elementary school, I remember the noontime bell ringing. The children rushing, playing games while on their way home for lunch. those poor children. Where are they now? Entering our new multi-million dollar freeway, first the high-speed traffic. Drivers speeding and hurrying for no other reason than speed itself. Then the accident. The skidding of tires and clash of metal is so vivid in my memory. The traffic slowing up to see what happened. The driver seeing the accident becomes somber. Not driving fast now. But in a few minutes, they have forgotten the accident and again begin to speed. The baseball stadium has been completed, and as I pass, I remember I have tickets for tomorrow night's game. I know now there will be no tomorrow night, because death does not attend a baseball game. The fire at the interchange as I turned off the freeway, the fire and all that fire equipment responding. This was the industrial area. I could see the blaze being put out by the firemen. Nothing serious, but because it was in the industrial area, many fire trucks responded. All this excitement caused by this blaze, I can see, is only a grain of sand compared to the horrors of the H-bomb. Downtown was its usually busy self. Throngs of men and women were going to lunch. We at Target City were proud of our new metropolitan look because for the past several years we were uprooting the old landmarks and creating new and modern buildings. All the restaurants and cafeterias were filled to capacity. Many people were waiting their turn in line. The horror to come now makes me shudder because I'm unable to warn anyone. How ironical now that it's too late. There is my clue that I've looked for. I see many civil defense air raid signs all about town. And only because of my complacency, I hadn't noticed them before. Glancing at the time, I see there are only 10 seconds before the alert siren will go on. There goes the alert siren. I see the people in the city have 9 minutes to take shelter and follow the rules of civil defense. I see my indifference to the siren going off. Actually, I felt like a great many others felt. Irritated. We, of course, didn't know this was not a drill, but real. The taking for granted test drill was my first mistake. It was then I had spoken out loud, criticizing civil defense. I had said, "Now can't those civil defense guys sound that siren some other time? Here it is in the middle of the lunch hour and those guys have to test the equipment now." And then I remembered a civil defense meeting I had promised to attend. And I told Helen, my wife, what a waste of time. Besides, I was going to bowl that night anyway. So I bowled and never did get to learn anything about civil defense. But then I remembered saying, as the siren sounded, "Wait a minute. This isn't a test day. They usually test near the end of the month. Why, they didn't even announce they were going to test today." I remember seeing a driver in his panic slamming his brakes on, causing a series of accidents. The streets suddenly became packed with cars, trucks, and buses. All those cars just piling up against each other. Just wrecking each other. A panic. A hysterical look in people's eyes.
Everybody pushing and shoving each other. No one knew what to do or where they were going.
I had glanced about me, and then I saw a great wail of fright overcoming Target City. How those people were bursting from every building. Sidewalks began to blacken with thousands of men and women gripped in sheer terror and panic. I wanted to escape from this horrible fear. It was uppermost in everyone's mind. Then there was a man carrying a portable radio. And I said, "Hey, you, what's that voice saying on the radio?" And then the voice saying, "This is Conrad, red alert. This is not a test. This is an alert. Take cover immediately, everyone. I repeat, this is not a test. This is Conrad. Take cover immediately. We are under attack."
I became afraid because this was real. The voice said it wasn't a test. Take cover immediately. What kind of cover? To where? Where will I go?
I wish then that I had attended the civil defense meeting.
I've got to get home. My wife, my children.
I suddenly wanted to be with my family. I felt they needed me. They didn't know what to do. But I had to get there to help them. But the noise. The people screaming.
Lady, please stop screaming.
The terrors of a panic. And I saw the elderly lady fall to the street. And people in their raving and panic use her body as a stepping stone to climb over vehicles. I too became panicked. When I saw men and women seized with absolute desperation, being trampled to death. The cracking of ribs, legs being broken, and blood-curdling screams added to the agony. Their shrieks were wild and uncanny, creating a scene that only mass assassination could describe.
What shall I do? Shall I pray? My God, I guess it's too late for even prayers now.
Then the sirens would rise and then fall slowly. Then they would warble like enraged demons. Then it happened. The beginning of our end. A light of such intensity fills the city. And no one could see anything but its exploding brightness.
Flash of light. I can't see. So bright.
Then the wave of thermal heat follows. The temperature rises to thousands of degrees. Our city was on fire. Clothing catches on fire. The fire knew no exceptions. The beggar's rags. The baby's diapers. The minks of the rich. Even the robes of the church. Then came the fighter's fist. A horrible blast causing all in its path to disintegrate.
The new buildings that cost Target City many millions and were so proud of become liquefied. In a matter of seconds, they slide to the earth. Gone forever. I remember how the siren was bursting into my brain, how it sounded as it began to stop. The gurgle of a death rattle. But silence did not follow. The awful heat. And I couldn't see. I couldn't stand it. The smell. The terrible, rotten smell of burning flesh. I felt so sick. I cried for Helen, the boys. Where were they? And I pleaded, please, somebody help. Help me, please. See how my complacency caused my death. I see people alive in the fallout shelters. Had I learned the rules of self-survival as set down by the Office of Civil Defense, I would be alive and in that shelter now. You have only one chance, never two. How simple it looked. Those who knew what to do and where to go are still amongst the living. I had my opportunity. But I was the complacent American. And I said this city where I died would never fear nuclear attack. After all, this is the USA.